Welcome to Not Marriage Advice. Thanks for joining us. On today's episode, we're talking about change, allowing yourself and others to grow, beliefs to shift, and change in behaviors. And we're back. After a long year hiatus, right?
Yeah, it's been a whole year, which is kind of wild. But
we have been in it the last year, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Definitely one of the years that we faced the most challenges, I would say.
Yeah. So share a little bit about what you've been through, where you're at now.
Me? Well, it was a year ago, over a year ago now, that I started coaching, which brought up all kinds of challenges for me.
Yeah. Like what kind of challenges?
A lot of imposter syndrome, a lot of fear around, like, am I enough for this, basically? And then fear of rejection, just all kinds of stuff. I mean, I started a coaching course and then, like a somatic coaching course to get a certification. And 2 months in, I was like, yeah, peace. I can't do this. And it wasn't like I intentionally was like, oh, I can't do this. It was me just avoiding doing that work because there was just so much fear around all of it. And it took a while for me to really start addressing that. It wasn't until December?
It took you a while to stop avoiding?
To stop avoiding, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. From February to December.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my experience of it too.
It was a lot for you as well.
Well, I found out I was pregnant in February.
Yeah.
So February. Why is that so hard to say?
February.
Yeah. It was a big transitioning month for both of us. I was in my breath work program. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started doing practicum. Mm-hmm. So worked through a lot of that, like a lot of my sessions during that time, and found out I was pregnant, which was great. You know, it was something we were wanting. But I think because it had been so long since I had been pregnant, I mean, Piers and Luca are 6 months apart.
6 years.
6 years apart. Goodness.
That's impossible.
I forgot just how, like, of an energy drain growing a baby is. Like, all energy goes to that. So for me, it was like a miracle I finished my breathwork program. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. It was great. Then I've just been on hiatus since then, essentially. Well,
you wanted to do this pregnancy different as well. Like, you put a lot of focus and energy into that pregnancy, that it was going to be different from
yes,
the previous ones.
My intention was to make that my whole focus the last year. And wanting to have, you know, a different labor and delivery experience than I did with my other three.
And boy, was it different.
Oh my gosh. Well, yes, it was. So I had my other three, as you know, in a hospital with an epidural, like barely felt anything, was essentially induced with all three of them. And then Luca decided to have at home, obviously unmedicated. And that was wild, to say the least.
Yeah. Very different.
Actually wild. But so cool at the same time, like, to see how much I can choose, like, a different experience for myself in all things. And even though, like, I personally would never choose to do a natural home birth again.
Yeah.
That it was really beautiful that I was able to stick with it. and make it happen. Mm-hmm. And that's just like the theme of my life this last year of, I don't know. I feel like I almost get like stuck in thinking like, oh, I haven't changed. Things haven't changed. I'm still following these same patterns, but really that's not true. Things have really evolved over the years for me.
What changes are you noticing though?
Honestly, like number one is my belief in myself that I actually believe I can do things that are hard or maybe not even hard, but I can do what I want, that I have control over my life essentially.
Yeah.
Like I can have what I want.
Yeah. That old like saying of life isn't happening to you.
Right. So it's kind of like our conversation we had last night, you know, when we hopped on here to like record.
Yeah.
And
we got 10 minutes in.
Things blew up. We both ended up like just in it. And we came to the conclusion like, well, what do we want? Do we want to be in it? Do we want to be like swimming in our feelings? Which is fine if we do, but, or do we want to get back to our podcast?
Yeah. And it's
going through life, right? Every day and asking yourself, okay, what do I want today? What do I want in this moment? What do I want this year? Like, and you know, like talking through goals, like I have goals, like physical goals after having a baby, I want to get back to a physical goal that, you know, I was a lot stronger before having Luca. So that's a goal of mine. And I'm not there because sometimes I want sleep more than I want that goal.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want to be a victim more than I want to get out of like my crap.
And that takes a lot of accountability to be able to look at where you're at and accept that this is you. You're here because of your choices.
Yeah.
Like for me last night, I had to accept that sometimes I want to be miserable and I want to be a victim. And I'm there because I want to be there.
Yeah. But you take that power back and that control when you're just like, yeah, this is where I want to be.
And then
right?
it makes it seem ridiculous. Like I'm able to see the ridiculousness of it.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, I literally am here because I'm choosing to be a victim because I want to be a victim.
Yeah.
And there may be all kinds of layers underneath that of like why in that moment I want to be a victim, and I can address those, and also I can also let go of them in that moment and be like, I don't want to be a victim. I want this right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to be fighting right now and being a victim about it. I want to record a podcast right now.
Yeah.
Or for you, do I want sleep or do I want the body that I want? Well,
sleep's winning over right now.
Sometimes it's sleep, but you are the one choosing it.
Yes.
No one else is doing that to you. It's not Luca. It's not the kids. It's not me. Mm-hmm. It's you.
As much as I want to blame Luca for not sleeping through the night, it's essentially me. And I can tell myself there's all kinds of reasons like, oh, well, he's not sleeping through the night. I don't have the energy. I need that active recovery time of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's so many things I could tell myself when really it's as simple as it's just me. And it's just me choosing.
And the thing is, it's okay that sometimes you choose sleep over your goals.
Totally.
Like, but don't judge yourself for it, because what's the point in that? Like, but you are the one doing, you keep the power the entire time.
Yeah. So wild.
So,
it was fun having that conversation last night, though, and seeing, like, the light go on in your eyes, and you were just like, holy shiz.
It's me.
It's just me.
Yeah.
Because we've been having this discussion, right,
mm-hmm.
for a few months. No, well, a few weeks, specifically about you really getting in your feelings
mm-hmm.
every day. Like there's something that comes up and you get, you just drop into your feelings and you're like trying to figure it out. And, and it kind of derails your day a lot.
Yeah, and, it can do.
And I've been asking you, like, why do you feel a need to put a story on it or a meaning on it? And, you know, it's been this almost like push-pull between us of allowing you to be where you're at and knowing like life has to move on too.
And a big part of it is I've learned that processing my feelings and actually feeling them is really beneficial for me.
Yeah. 100%.
That part is necessary. Where I get stuck is in that process.
Mm-hmm.
And when there isn't necessarily a meaning behind it, when there isn't a reason why, I go searching for it.
Mm-hmm.
I go straight into my training.
Right.
What I have gotten certified in, what I'm good at as well.
Yeah.
I go straight into that and I'm like searching for something.
Mm-hmm.
But what that does is it allows me to not address the actual thing that is going on. So if recording a podcast or creating a social media post or whatever the trigger is something that I want to avoid, like to take full accountability of what I'm doing. And I this isn't like a conscious thought of like, ooh, I get to do this. This is totally subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
It allows me to avoid doing that and going to something that is actually comfortable for me. I'm comfortable in my feelings.
Mm.
I'm comfortable going into that web and figuring out what's going on for me.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just, oh, I'm feeling anxiety. Or I'm feeling scared right now. I'm going to breathe through it, let it go, move on. And I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah. And so do you feel like it has been helpful for you in realizing like, you can essentially make a choice. You can like feel into it, decide if this is something that needs exploring or figure out if it's something that needs exploring. And then if it's not, it's like, okay, I can just feel this. Let's breathe into it and let's move on. And let's get back to like what it is that you want.
Yeah. There's a difference for me. When I think back on different times where I've done this, I can feel the difference of times where I go searching for the meaning or the reason or the belief or whatever it is, and times where it just surfaces and it's there. And the difference is really like stark between the two. The first one where I'm searching for it, I get stuck forever because I'm like trying to find something. But when it just surfaces, it processes so quickly because it's ready. It's there.
Exactly.
And if there's nothing there, something I am working on is letting it be nothing. Let it be just what it is of, oh, this is fear. Okay, I need to feel, I'm going to feel it and let it go.
Yeah.
Which my old pattern was stuff it down and ignore it and avoid it.
Yeah.
And I went completely the opposite direction of feel everything.
Yeah.
And figure out all of it.
Yeah.
And dissect it's finding it. That happy medium.
Yeah.
Of sometimes, there's something on the surface and I can process it. Sometimes I just need to feel it and move on.
Yeah.
And not get stuck.
And that's where you and I weren't seeing eye to eye on it, because I was trying to help you understand, like, it could be as simple as just feeling the emotion. Just feel the emotion and let it go.
Yeah.
And yeah, so interesting. Kind of back to what I was saying about this last year and how I focused on doing things different and allowing myself to change. It would be easy for me to look at all the ways that I slipped into old patterns and it would be easy to see, or at least find evidence that I haven't changed, that I was still doing things that wasn't, that weren't working for me. But in that year, looking back, I can see that I have made so much progress. Like, yeah. Yes, I may slip back into old patterns. Mm-hmm. Yes, maybe I was really choosing into my victimhood at times. And there were still a lot of, still a lot of opportunity to show me a different truth that, gosh, I'm trying to like think of a specific example. Can you think of anything?
I feel like something you like really accepted this year is like that sometimes you just want to be lazy.
Yeah.
and that that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like removing the judgment of yourself from it. And, but it's not like you learn it and then you're like, okay, my life is different. I'm never going to deal with this again.
Yeah.
Anytime that I feel lazy, I'm just going to be like, oh, cool. I feel lazy. And then and let it go and make a choice. Like there have been times where you slip back into like judging yourself for sitting on the couch, even when you're doing things that like, quote unquote, good things, like hanging out with the kids or.
Yeah.
Snuggling Demi or whatever it is. Like you're doing valuable things, but there's something in your brain telling you like you're being lazy right now.
Yeah.
You've got all of these things that you need to do. You can't be sat down here. And when you experience those things, it's very easy to look at it and be like, I'm not changed. I'm no different than I was a year ago because I'm still dealing with this. But what we focus on, we can find evidence for.
Yeah. Well, it was as simple, like when I learned that concept, or at least when I did that shadow work around being lazy and admitted to myself, oh, actually, sometimes I am lazy.
I'm so lazy.
Because I, literally, because sometimes I'm like, I would pride myself previously on my task list and like checking things off. Mm-hmm. And doing, and going.
Yeah.
And then I kind of like swung the pendulum a little bit the other way where it was like, okay, I need to let go of the lists a little bit, let go of the to-dos. Mm-hmm. They're always going to be there. And it brought me to being really lazy. And I'm like, well, shoot, I can't be lazy. I can't look at that. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't even have like the awareness to change it until that night when I finally admitted to myself, oh, shoot, I am actually lazy.
When you say you didn't have the awareness to change it, what do you mean? Like you were willingly not looking at it or like, what do you mean when you say that?
No, it was just subconscious. Mm. So I couldn't look at it and say, okay, I'm going to change this.
Because you weren't consciously aware of it.
Yes, exactly. Gotcha. So when I had that realization, like, oh, I am actually lazy, then I could do something about it. Mm-hmm. I could look at it and be like, feeling lazy right now. Is this what I want to do? Yeah, actually, I kind of do.
Yeah,
kind of do want to just sit on the couch right now with the kids. And maybe part of that's lazy. And maybe it's not fully lazy. You know, it took me out of telling myself things were lazy or weren't lazy. It really just came down to choice again, like we talked about, of deciding like, I do actually want to get up and like do X, Y, or Z.
Yeah. It's choice and it's judgment. Mm-hmm. Like you get out of judgment about your choices.
Yeah.
Like that's the big thing. We make these choices all day long, but because of your judgment around lazy that you had, you couldn't accept that you were lazy at times before.
Yeah.
And once you were able to get out of judgment about what it says about you, that sometimes you choose to be lazy, that's when you can accept it and actually do something about it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and, I actually had the thought completely fall out of my head, whatever I was just going to say. So
that's okay. I think it going back to the whole idea of like, you've changed, it's allowing yourself to change. Like, it's very easy to ignore progress. Mm-hmm. But there are times, and I think it's important that as you grow, you notice the times where it's like, oh, I did that different than what I usually do. That's really cool. I'm going to like really notice that and maybe even like celebrate that.
Yeah.
That okay. I was able to handle that differently.
Yeah. So let me ask you something, because we've been getting like really into astrology lately and like really been feeling it. Like,
it's kind of fun.
It's been really cool to just kind of, I don't know, use it as like a tool. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, it was something that I used to be hell no skeptical on.
Just like everything,
but yeah. Whatever.
Okay, it's so fun. I feel like as we've kind of dove into astrology and felt into like how it describes us, like I'm an Aries, you're a Gemini, mm-hmm. and both like very different. But as I've been like kind of like sitting with them, like actually this is, I can look back on my life and see where I have like changed and evolved, and sometimes not for the better. So I look back on like, let's say like in my childhood, I feel like I was very much like me. I showed up as me. Super rough around the edges, I will say. You know, I was a child. But I was very much fire. I was Aries. I spoke my mind, was not afraid to, like, just show up as me. And as I've been, you know, told by whoever that, like, that was wrong or not okay to be me, I would pull it back in. Mm-hmm. I'd reel in, like, my personality. And show up different.
Yeah. I mean, when you say people would tell you it's not okay to be you, is that specifically what they said, or is that what you as a kid interpreted from that?
No, that's just what I interpreted from that. Or, yeah, whatever.
So they may have been saying other things like, hey, you're really angry or whatever.
Yeah. That's the number one thing I've always been told is I'm angry.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm just very passionate. And very intense.
Yeah.
And I, as well, am not afraid to feel anger.
Yeah.
Anger doesn't scare me. Mm-hmm. And I understand more so now why it's harder for other people to hold space for anger or to witness it. I get it. It's not for everyone. Mm-hmm. I'm not for everyone.
Yeah.
And I'm getting to a place where I'm really okay with that. So back to like looking back on my life, child, very much Aries, very much who I was, stepped out of it as I heard that was quote unquote not okay to be me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we got married, when we got married, I feel like a lot of the time, like in the beginning, it was like me stepping in and out of being me. So constantly changing who I was mm-hmm. to help other people feel comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, like going to therapy, I felt like I stepped back into me again.
Yeah.
And I mean, very early on when we were trying to have a family and, you know, kind of like, went very intense again. Like
swung the other direction a little bit.
Yeah, swung the other direction a little bit. And then with family dynamics and things being said about me and how I am, mm-hmm. Just completely shut it down. Shut down who I was. Did not show who I was to a lot of people. I think you're the only one since then that I've really let see me like consistently.
Oh yeah.
So it's just interesting. And then I would say probably within the last year, 2 years, I've been working on giving myself that permission to be this intense personality.
Yeah.
And be passionate in who I am and let people see me, and working on when they don't accept me. You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It still hurts mm-hmm. to not be accepted as me. It still doesn't feel good.
Yeah. But you're okay being you.
But I'm okay being me.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with them not being in my life if I don't work for them.
Yeah.
Because my people will find me and have found me.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I feel like as I've really stepped into me the last year or two, that, you know, my family who's known me my whole life, they've seen all these different versions of me. Mm-hmm. Accept me as me. Like, being around them this last week, it's so wild to just show up as me in complete love in my heart.
Yeah.
And they just love me.
Yeah.
I don't have to be anything other than me.
Yeah.
It's just interesting. It's like a full circle moment of like, how freaking cool is that? That we can change and we can evolve and come back to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And people love us for being us.
Well, isn't that exactly what growth is? It's unlearning all of the crap that we mm-hmm. start doing to protect ourselves from getting
yeah.
hurt. And you've gone through this process of unlearning all those habits of shutting yourself down, of not mm-hmm. showing yourself. And it doesn't mean you have to show yourself completely to everyone.
No.
That's insane. Like, that's just opening yourself up to get rocks thrown at you. Like, why would you do that? But with people that you... One, with people that have earned that trust. Like, you could only be that way with me for so long because I had earned that right.
Yeah.
I had earned that trust because you... showed me you in all of your messy rage at times, mm-hmm. and I'm still here.
Yeah, you weren't going to leave me.
You could, yeah, you did whatever you did, and I'm still here.
Which, when it comes down to it, I feel like as a collective, all of our fears come down to one thing, the fear of being alone.
Yeah.
And so that was it for me, is the fear of being completely alone.
Growth. So,
it's wild.
Yeah. And I think a note that I with learning who you are, and you'd mentioned like getting into astrology, like accepting like the parts of you that are like Aries and all of that stuff, it's still you and it's still you doing it. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to like learn who you are or even get into things like astrology and be like, well, I'm this way because I'm an Aries, or I'm this way because I'm angry and that's just who I am.
Yeah.
Rather than accepting the way that you show up in life and being like, and being accountable for the way you show up in life.
Sure.
Like, I'm choosing to be angry right now because I feel like I need to. I feel like there's a boundary being crossed, or whatever it is, whatever.
Well, there's light and there's dark in all yeah. of us. There's our shadow work yeah. too. And it's as I've stepped into, like, life isn't about being perfect and it's not about doing it all right. Sometimes the best learning is doing it wrong. I'm not out here like intentionally like raging on people, you know, but it's a necessary part of my learning. And as I've stepped into learning that, oh, I am this person, like I am accepting of this dark side of me.
Yeah.
Like, it allows me to just love myself fully.
Mm-hmm.
At all parts of me.
Yeah. And with any new skill, doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a sport or a technical skill or anything, an emotional skill.
Mm-hmm.
When you are first working on it and are new at it, you're going to be terrible at it. Like, it's like when you're learning to be angry or learning to be sad or learning to set boundaries, you're going to do it wrong. That's the only way is to do it wrong.
Yeah.
And yet we run so much from like, I do this all the time. I run so much from the prospect of getting it wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it perfect. When?
Where do you feel like you learned that from?
Right now, I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Well,
I think, I mean, there's layers to it. One, I think that's really prominent is being bullied at a young age. Any differences, anytime you did something wrong, anytime that something was out of, you did something out of place.
You mean I? You're saying you did. Do you mean you?
Oh, yeah. And anytime I did some, sorry, my bad, I, not you.
I just want to be clear.
Yeah. Anytime I did something wrong or out of place or that was different, it was like pounced on and made fun of and whatever. And that was kind of the culture as well. I think that's why I was saying you, because that feels like a cultural thing. And maybe that's just kids as well. There's some of that there too.
Yeah, sure.
I think it's easy for me to be like, oh, I was so victimized and everything. That's just kids sometimes. Kids are mean. Like, it is what it is. And I was just bullied from a very early age and chose to focus on those things.
Yeah.
But still, that's where I think it's very prominent of not wanting to get it wrong.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And there's other layers to it. I mean, there's family stuff. There's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. I was just curious exactly what the perfectionism is for you, because mine is a little different. And I feel like it comes from like religious programming of like, I feel like what I learned in church is to do everything right. If I read my scriptures and I pray and I'm a good person, you know, whatever the checklist is, going to the temple, having family home evening, doing come follow me, you know, whatever it is at the time, that then I will be blessed. That's doing things right. And I'm learning actually, and even in the church, like what we're meant to do is come down here and make mistakes.
Yeah.
So wild, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that exactly what Adam and Eve did in the garden? Mm-hmm. They made mistakes. And so it's crazy, because I know I'm not the only person who picked up on like this religious perfectionism.
Oh, I have some of that too. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked to so many people and gotten their experiences, and it's the same where it's like we somewhere along the line in church picked up on like being perfect beings, when actually we are meant to come here and make mistakes. That is where our learning lies, is in those mistakes. And it's so crazy how many of us struggle with perfectionism.
Yeah. How much judgment we put on ourselves and other people.
Totally.
About it.
Like, why is that person not doing this, that, or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, we heard the other day, somebody judging somebody that we know. Like, they are financially insecure because they're not doing what they're supposed to in church.
Yeah. They're struggling financially because they're not being very good members right now.
Yeah.
Which is
wild that we have these judgments of it. And it's, if we actually broke it down, we're just here to love. Really, that's what we're coming back to, is learning to love each other.
Exactly where they're at. And even with all of the mistakes.
Yeah.
Well, quote unquote mistakes.
Right.
And I think it's very easy. Like we've talked a lot about allowing ourselves to change mm-hmm. and noticing when we have changed. We also do that to other people. Like I've experienced people within my life telling me that I've changed and they don't like those changes. Mm. That I'm different. Mm-hmm. And it really bothered me for a while. For a long time, it really bothered me as though I was doing something wrong, that I've changed, that's wrong that I've changed.
That it's a bad thing to change?
That it's a bad thing to change. And I was slowly kind of coming to terms with it. And I was actually listening to a song by Taking Back Sunday.
Love them.
On one of their new...
As you're wearing their shirt.
As I'm wearing their shirt right now, yeah. And oh, yeah, there it is. Their latest album, there's a song called Keep Going. And there's a line in there that says, the problem isn't that I've changed. The problem is that you've stayed the same. Mm. And that hit me.
Oof. Yeah. I feel that.
Because aren't we meant to change? Do you want to be the same person you were 5 years ago? Hell no. I was an asshole.
That sounds awful.
Like I was the worst. Like I can judge myself for it, but I can also see the growth.
Yeah.
That I've had because I've had those experiences, because I've experienced that. I've allowed it to change me. Mm-hmm. And I've also experienced people in my life that don't allow me to change. Mm. And to take full accountability, I do that to other people. I do that to you.
Yeah.
Where you've gone through a lot of changes in the last year or two in how you show up in life and with me.
I mean, to be more clear, we've done a lot to change in the last 15 years that we've been together.
Yeah. Yeah, we have 15 years of history.
And we've been through a lot, right. You know, together. We've changed a lot. We've grown a lot. Mm-hmm. And I would say our most growth has been in the last 6 years, really.
Oh, yeah.
But then, I don't know where I was going with that.
I don't know. I'll get back to my point.
Sorry. Literally fell out of my head again.
That's fine. But there's times where I get triggered by something you say, or we get into a conflict, and I treat you as though you are you from 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Who, when we get into a conflict, sometimes you would be a rage monster.
Yeah.
And yell and scream and slam doors and like leave the house. And I'm treating you in this moment as though you are that person, and you're not. You're completely different. Mm-hmm. You handle things a different way. And so you might say something and I internalize that as something completely different.
Yeah.
I hear something that would have come from your mouth 10 years ago. And it's super easy to not allow people to change when you've known them for so long and you have a lot of history. And there's a lot of pain there.
Yeah.
Like I've done things, you've done things that have caused a lot of pain in the relationship. And to really grow and move on from that, I can't keep bringing it up every time we fight.
Right. It would be like me constantly bringing up your experience with addiction.
Yeah.
And being like, well.
Yeah, well, you did this, so F you.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
That's gonna
and
get
at
us
some point, I had to move on from it.
Yeah.
And say, like, that's not who he is anymore, and he's not showing up that way anymore. And at a certain point, it's not about you anymore.
How much of that was me earning that trust back, and how much of it was you choosing to trust?
I feel like, I mean, that's a good question.
Because
I would say, honestly, it's 50-50.
Yeah.
Because it takes me coming to the table and saying, like, look, I'm choosing to trust you.
Yeah.
And you have a chance to, like, also earn that in this moment. And if you choose to lie or betray, then, well, You have a part in that.
Yeah.
I have a part in that. It was my choice to choose to trust you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. And I think to get to that point, you were able to see where I was making changes.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think we've seen people, like couples who have gone through similar experiences as us, of addiction and betrayal, get stuck in, well, I can't trust him until XYZ happens.
Yeah.
And waiting to trust. And that's okay. They're trying to figure it out. But there comes a point where you have to allow them to change and to be different and choose to trust too.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. What's wild too in all of it is that I still get triggered sometimes by our like experience with addiction and betrayal.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't happen often.
No.
But it's so wild. Like I feel like as a human, that's just life, right?
Yeah.
Don't you kind of think?
Yeah.
Like we just, things come up sometimes.
So how do you navigate that when it comes up?
Well, it's mine, so I don't throw it at you. But I think sometimes like there is a level of accountability for you still.
Yeah.
Because maybe you're telling me one thing and you're doing another. Mm-hmm. And so there is validity in my trigger that yeah. I can't trust you.
Yeah.
But it's my responsibility to not go down the rabbit hole and be like, well, I can't trust you because this is what you always do.
Yeah. Anytime it's always or never,
there's something to look at.
A trigger involved.
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's important to say as well, that example that you gave of me saying one thing and doing another, that doesn't necessarily mean in an exact same way or even a similar way as what happened before when it was addiction and betrayal. Mm-hmm. It could simply be you ask me to rub your feet and I say yes when really I want to say no. And you sense that I'm saying one thing and I mean another. And it triggers that same feeling of like, he's not being honest with me.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah, totally. I feel like that's something we could like deep dive into for sure.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of important stuff there.
Yeah.
About like your yes meaning yes and your no meaning no. No. Yeah. And like building that trust.
Yeah.
One thing that our experience has taught me, though, is that as much as I've wanted to change you and control you.
At times,
that really I can only change myself, mm-hmm. right? And you can only change yourself.
Yeah.
And I love, like, coming back to the whole thought of, like, what do I want?
Yeah.
You know? And if we're both on the same path and we both want the same things, eventually we're going to get what we want.
Yeah.
You know, ultimately, I don't really want to change you. I don't really want to control you. Mm-hmm. I just want you to show up as you.
Yeah.
I want like authentic Gareth, who is very intellectual, a people person, who has a big personality and doesn't let fear get in the way.
Because I've hidden that for a long time.
Yeah.
And you just want me to be that.
That's really all I want. I don't want to change who you are fundamentally.
Right.
And, yeah. And yeah.
Yes.
So basically, to wrap this up, give yourself permission to change and allow others to change as well. Invitation to notice when you might be treating yourself or others as old versions. So thanks again for listening and follow us on Instagram at Gaz and Liss, GazandLyss. See you next time.